Blog Talk Radio.
Which dwelleth in Zion.
All right. Amen. 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 We greet you in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say happy Sabbath to everyone and good morning. We pray that everybody has eaten well this morning and last night from the Word of Yah. I want to welcome everybody out to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. I am Brother Miles, and we are in the Elohim of Blood Covenant. And on last evening, we went through what is the blood covenant itself and what it requires. That the Most High, because it's signed in blood, it's signed with life, and it is a commitment to life, and that we would serve with our life. I have to understand that being sealed by the life of the blood of an animal, we have entered into a more perfect covenant in Messiah, whereby the life of a man was given as the seal to the covenant. On last evening, we stopped where we were looking at what the covenant requires. So on this morning, we're going to continue where we left off last night. As I said, we're looking at the old covenant because you cannot know what's in the new without knowing the old. The new is the old, just written in our hearts. So a lot of the statutes, the laws, and the commandments that man in this modern age has done away with, the Most High has not done away with. Because we are in a different time and a different civilization, a different culture, the Most High's word does not change. He has given us in the covenant exactly what he's looking for. And we, his people, have to give him what it is that he wants. So this blood covenant, anything signed in blood, it is it's just overly serious. You know, you see movies on TV that you see the devil come up and say, you know, you want everything you want in life. I got a contract for you, and you will sign this contract in blood. That means you're signing with your life. Okay? This is the same way as the blood covenant with the Most High. You enter into it with your life. And so we got to understand that it is something that we cannot take lightly in any kind of way. The Most High is not taking it lightly, and we cannot take it lightly. Let us go ahead and do the necessary. I want to welcome everybody in Blog Talk Land, Pal Talk Land, on the internet in general, wherever you may be, North America, South America, on the European continent, on the African continent. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We're going to start off with our statement of faith this morning. I say good morning to you all again. Again, I thank the Most High for confirming with me in my walk that he will keep me, that he will not let anything hurt me. No weapon formed shall prosper. We are in a battle. And, you know, the enemy is busy, and we just want to be faithful to the Elohim that we serve. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Any men listening, uncover your heads. Let us go ahead and turn toward the east as we do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise this morning, for truly he is worthy and he is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah, 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 Yah. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name, glory to your name. The Elohim of covenant, the Elohim of the blood covenant, the Elohim of eternity. Father, we just worship you and adore you this morning. Father, we bow down before you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Where would we be right now? Hallelujah. If it were not for you. Hallelujah. And Father, we just want to give you glory and honor and praise your holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your tender mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being consistent, a rock. Hallelujah. Unchanging, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together, Father, and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would turn from our wicked ways and repent of our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly. And we are turning from our wicked ways, and we're repenting of our sins, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. The Father, our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit. The spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work, that you would hear our supplications and our prayers, and that you would be with us as your people. Father, help us to enter in correctly into your covenant. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings. Chapter 8. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who have carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth, to be thine inheritance as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest forth our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The conclusion of the whole matter. If you just keep this before you. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment, whether with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen. Amen. All right. I want to start this morning off. I'm going to play a song before we jump into this. I pray that you are high on the Most High. I'm high on the Most High. Trust me. I just feel him all over me this morning. And wow. We're going to have to let him have his way. Let's see. What am I looking for here? Okay. Yeah, here it is.
Prophecy, yeah, to the Jew first. Everybody ain't gonna get it, so that truth hurts. curve, breaking down all lies and religion first. See, I thirst prophecy, and yo, I fit the curse. Look at the news, Israel, man, it's getting worse. Jacob trouble is real, head hard as steel. Broad is the way that leads you off to hell, yeah.
Lost 12 tribes of Israel,
yeah.
Lost 12 tribes of Israel.
Quick review of the who, what, when, where, and how, and then we are going to continue in this. As I said on last night, the Most High said that, you know, there is no way for us to, no way to understand the new covenant unless you understand the old. And you have to know the old inside and out so that you know what was changed in the new and what was not changed. Because under the new covenant, it's a better covenant, sealed with better promises, but sealed with the blood of Messiah and not the blood of an animal, but the blood of a man. Better promises, but it's that much more serious. The first one was ultimately serious. This one being better is way more serious. So we're going to walk through the old, and then when we come into the new and check out those things that have changed, and understanding that there was not a lot that was changed. The penalties are more severe. The requirements are more severe. You know, not do you have to commit adultery, the physical act, if you lust on it long enough, if you think about it too much, you are guilty because it's in your heart. Most of us says, I judge by the heart. So we're looking at this old covenant. What is a blood covenant? It is an agreement sealed in blood between two or more individuals, not of necessity being of the same earthly bloodline. It has nothing to do with this blood covenant. It really has nothing to do with a bloodline, even though the Most High chose a people and a bloodline. Okay? But anybody that agrees to this covenant can come into it. They have to agree to the terms, which practically makes them of one blood. So it's like we don't have to be of the same bloodline, but when we come up under the blood covenant, it's like we're saying we're one blood. We're one family. This is what this blood covenant does, such that they become a family within themselves. So you can be coming from everywhere, all kind of different families, all kind of different peoples, and you come up under this one blood, you come up under this blood covenant, then you're to be considered as one body, one family, one people. We so happen to enter into a covenant with the Most High, and he entered into a covenant with Israel, a blood covenant. His agreement was that he would be our Elohim, and we would be his people. And our forefathers agreed to everything, every term that the Most High gave them. They agreed and said, we will do it. All that Yah said, we will do. Then Moses comes and he sprinkles the people with blood. And the covenant itself, sealing it. Now, what does the blood covenant affect? The nature of the relationship is a holy, Or, you know, you got people in the world that go in league with Satan. They go into blood covenant with him as well. So it can be a holy or an unholy covenant. Ours is holy. A relationship between the members belonging to the blood covenant. So we are in a holy relationship. The Most High says it has to be holy because he is holy. So we come into a holy relationship with the Most High Elohim. How does the blood of the covenant work? The blood with which the covenant is sealed makes the participants one with each other. We are supposed to be of one mind. We're supposed to be of one spirit. We're supposed to agree upon everything that's in the covenant, and we are supposed to do it. What does the blood covenant cover? When I went through the scriptures last night, I showed you where the Most High said, I'm going to be your Elohim. You shall have no other Elohim before me. And you're going to be my people. This is what makes up the covenant. And I showed you during last night that the Most High chose Israel. Israel is the apple of his eye. He said, if the sun stops shining or stops rising and shining and the moon stops going through its phases, then he would cut off Israel as being his people forever. As long as you see that sun out there coming up and the moon going through its phases, then Elohim has said Israel is his people, the apple of his eye. He made it to where Israel will always be his people and the apple of his eye. But not all of us are going to make it. You got to come into this covenant with your whole heart. It requires your whole heart. It requires your all. Anything short of that, the Most High is not accepting. He gave us the terms. Your all. You will be my people. You're the apple of my eye. I will set you above and not below. There's been no other nation that he has loved like he loves Israel. No other people that he has loved like he loves Israel. I chose you. You said you wanted to enter into this relationship. But I don't think our forefathers really understood the relationship. So we can't get this wrong. We have to enter into this covenant. Let us go to Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. The book of Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8. Because I really want us to get this. Because when we come into the new, then we should appreciate the new far more better and esteem it even greater than even this. And this was, this first covenant, it wasn't weak. It was us that was weak. It was our forefathers that were weak. For thus saith Yah Elohim of hosts, after the glory has he set me unto the nations, which spoiled you. For he that touches you, Israel, touches the apple of his Elohim's eye. You are my people. I am in covenant relationship with you. You broke the first covenant. I wrote it on stone. It wasn't in your heart. It wasn't in your mind. So I'm going to make a new covenant with you. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31. Let's see here. Jeremiah chapter 31. We're going to start in verse 31 because I want us to get this down deep inside of us. Behold, the days cometh, saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. We're doing the old first. But understand that when we read this, he's taking the old and doing what? Writing it in our hearts. With the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that they took them the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. This relationship, he treated it as a marriage. Okay? That's why I say when you read the fourth commandment, thou shalt not take the name of Yah Elohim in vain. He's talking about marriage. Don't take my name in relationship. Don't take my name in marriage and treat it as something common. Treat it as something worthless. Don't take my name in vain and you're not going to count on me. Don't take my name in vain and you're not going to depend on me. Don't take my name in vain and you're not going to believe me. You're not going to serve me with everything you have, because what I'm offering you is more precious than anything on this earth. And I chose you. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Yah Elohim. I will put my law in their inward parts, not on stone tablets, and write it in their hearts, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. That is what the covenant is all about. So he has some requirements for this covenant. And he came down and he gave it to the children of Israel. This is the requirements for the covenant. This is the basis of it. I'm going to be your Elohim and you're going to be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know Yah, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yah, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith Yah, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. Yah of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, if the sun stops light, the moon stops going through its phases, if that stops, saith Yah, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. I will do away with it. If this stops, I will do away with the seed of Israel, and I'll do away with the nation of Israel forever. But the sun's still coming up. The moon's still going through its phases. Thus saith Yah, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yah. They can't measure the heavens. They're trying to. Trust me, they're trying to. Because they don't want Israel. They don't want to be beneath. You think all the other nations of the world serving false gods and the real Elohim chose Israel, do you think they don't want to be chosen? No matter what they say, they would rather be chosen. And so they're trying to find these things out, because the Most High said this will nullify the contract with Israel. If you can measure the heavens above, you can cancel this. I will cut off the seed of Israel forever. If you can measure the depths beneath and not just measure them, but search out, know how it was done. So those nations are trying to do that. But he has made it where they cannot do it. So he's telling you, Israel is going to be mine forever. So we have to understand what this covenant is all about. He made it to where, and his word is such that I'm doing things that you, I know, are impossible for you to do. I know that it's impossible. So this will always be my people, the apple of my eye. We got to understand just how special we are. And not get fucked up, because the Most High doesn't like pride. But we still got to know how special we are and not try to take it and make ourselves appear or feel like we're bigger or better than somebody else. Because the Most High don't like that. He wants a humble people. But trust and know, Israel, the Most High said, you know what? You are the apple of my eye, but you ain't going to altogether go unpunished. And not only that, because of what you've done, because of how you broke the covenant, because you didn't take it seriously, your forefathers didn't, I'm keeping a remnant of you for my name's sake. My name's sake. That my word is good. The promise I made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is good. But we got to understand as his people what the Most High he chose us and what he's doing for us. This is a blood covenant. It is life or death. It is life or death. He told us from the beginning, these things give you life. These things bring you death. Choose life. Choose life. This is what I desire for you, life. You are the apple of my eye, and you keep wanting to choose death. On last evening, we covered entering into the blood covenant, okay? And entering into this blood covenant with Yah requires 100% obedience to the requirements of the covenant. He gave us everything that was required and said, do you agree? Our forefathers entered into all that Yah has said we will do. They entered into it. All that Yah has said we will do. Some of it. We agreed to the covenant. We agreed to the relationship. And it was sealed with blood. In this case, the blood of an animal. When one enters into the blood covenant, the breaking of the covenant, when you enter into this blood covenant, the breaking of this covenant requires the shedding of blood for atonement. It's a blood covenant. It requires blood. That atonement required the taking of the covenant breaker or the covenant breaker's life. That's why the penalty for so many of the commandments is death. You signed with your life. So if you transgress, the penalty is death, not life. It is death because you entered into a blood covenant, not just a promise. Because there's different types of covenants. So this was not just a promise. But you entered into a relationship sealed with blood. Sealed with the life of a thing. So when you transgress, if you break the covenant, your life is required. You see what a conundrum, a bad position we were in when from the very beginning our forefathers were disobedient. That's why the Most High said, I will wipe them all out and start over with you, Moses. And Moses convinced them not to do it because the covenant required, for a breach of the covenant, it required life. So you can't enter into this relationship with the Most High lightly. Cannot do it. And we were all so ignorant, all so foolish. So the Most High said there's two remedies for this. You break the covenant, I require your life, because that's what the covenant requires. That's what the blood requires. I took the life of, in this case, an animal and sealed this relationship. Now, did you know that there's a law in Torah that if you try to sacrifice an animal on your own and is not in accordance with Torah, that the Most High considers it murder? He considers it murder for that animal. And so we take, you know, we take the lives of the animals as, you know, well, they're beneath us and it, a light thing. But the Most High doesn't take that light lightly. That's why we have to know what we're doing. Because he will consider it as you killed a man. So we got to understand that this covenant, this life of this animal that the Most High used to seal the old covenant, the Most High takes the life of that animal as valuable. It's not something that, oh, it was just a cow or it was just a sheep. The animal had a life just like you have a life. And the Most High says, because you're in sin and because Messiah has not come yet, I'm going to allow this to suffice for right now. But don't take it lightly. It was never in my heart that the animal should die for your sin. So you have entered into this blood covenant. And if you break the covenant, I require your life. That's why repentance. We were all so lost and torn up, dead, because we didn't take this covenant seriously. It's just, you know, you're dealing with the true Elohim, not some made-up Elohim. Somebody made up and said, oh, this is what, you know, how my Elohim would be, and I can worship like this, and I can do that. My Elohim would be this way and that way. You're dealing with the true one. He says, no, this is the true covenant. You're dealing with the true Elohim, and I am able to destroy both body and spirit. So you enter into a relationship with me, you better take it seriously. You better fear me. You need to understand who you're dealing with. So you can either be cut off as a people, as a person. You don't have a relationship with the Most High. Therefore, you're already dead, because when it comes to the judgment, after you die and the Most High resurrects everybody, you're going to the lake. Just dead, just walking around in this life, dead and don't really know it. Because this life is short. It's fleeting. The eternity that you have to look forward to after you've been cut off is not a good eternity. This is, I require your life. This deal is sealed in blood. In Yah's blood covenant, ignorantly breaching the covenant, it's sin. If you do it in ignorance, it's still sin. But he says, but if you do it in ignorance, I will forgive you. I will allow you to bring us a sacrifice, an animal. I will put an animal in your place. This animal's life was shed for yours because you were supposed to die. So until the better covenant can come, I'm going to allow you to use this animal, but trust me, I'm not taking this animal's life, and he's not giving his life up lightly. I'm making a provision that when you transgress the covenant that requires your life, I allowed you to bring, and if it was ignorantly, not willfully, see, this is going back to us understanding. Once you agreed and you knew what I wanted, then I don't expect you to be disobedient. I don't expect you to be willfully disobedient. And if you are willfully disobedient, I require your life. If you are ignorant about it, You didn't know. I'm not going to hold you accountable for that. The day you learn of it, you stop doing it, you turn away from that transgression, and I will forgive you because you were doing it ignorantly, because I require your life, and you just don't know it. The covenant requires your life. It is sealed with blood. It is sealed with life. So if you break it, you forfeit yours. Can we hear this? This is not something you enter into any kind of way lightly. So in Yah's blood covenant, ignorantly breaching the covenant is sin and requires repentance and turning away forever from doing that particular breach again. You can't say you slipped. You can't say, oh, I slipped and oops, I'm sorry. You can't say, once you know, oh, Mosiah, this thing got me. I'm struggling with it. You got to know what you're in to know that, hey, that can't be a struggle. You got to be committed to it. So you turn it, you realize, hey, I have been in transgression most of the time. I didn't know. I didn't know that I couldn't do X or that I shouldn't be doing Y. I didn't know. He says, okay, you did that ignorantly. Then you can bring a sacrifice for that. Under the old covenant, they could bring a sacrifice for that. But then he says, the man that sins presumptuously, willfully, knowing what he's doing, said, there ain't no blood for that. You're supposed to die. Because you know, and you intentionally disobeyed. He says, there's no sacrifice for that. Problem is, most all mankind find themselves in the second position. And the Most High said, you know, I need to make a way out. I'm going to give you a second chance. I'm going to give you a second covenant. I'm going to give you a second contract. And if you agree to come into this contract, and it is sealed with the blood of Messiah, me, myself, and flesh, I came down and signed the deal. Took on flesh, shed my blood for you. Hold on, let me get a scripture here. Bear with me one second. I want us to read this. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. The book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of Elohim, which he purchased with his own blood. So much more better a covenant. In the Old Testament, in Torah, under the first covenant, you were sealed by the life and the blood of an animal. The Most High said, I'm going to give you a better covenant. And I shouldn't even be covering this right now, but I want us to understand. We are sealed with his blood. So how much more worse do you think the punishment's going to be if you break it? This blood covenant, which requires life. The Most High said, I came down and gave my life. And because I had no sin, I picked it back up again. But I came down and paid the price that needed to be paid. So you are purchased with his blood. That's why when we go to Hebrews chapter 10, that's why he says, how much more worse do you think the punishment is going to be? We got to understand what we're into. Let's go back. Because we want to cover that when we cover the new covenant. We got to understand the old before we come into the new. We as his people, if we are his priesthood, we have to understand what we're in. How can you explain it to someone else and let them know how serious it is if you don't understand it? If you don't understand the contract? If you don't understand it's a life or death contract, so people shouldn't, you know what? You shouldn't just enter into this thing if you're not willing to pay the price. So, as I was saying, so we understand the rules of the blood covenant, what a blood covenant means. It's not just any type of agreement. You know, if this was the mafia, once you entered in to the mafia, there was only one way out, and that was feet first, dead. Once you entered into the mafia, you couldn't just walk away. Whatever they wanted you to do, you had to do under penalty of your own life. You think the contract with the Most High is any less? It is way more demanding. Because of who you entered into the contract with. I gave my life for you. I didn't use an animal. So we got to understand what we're in. When we sin, we break that contract. We break the covenant. And the Most High says, if it's ignorantly, then you repent of it, turn away from it, and I will forgive you. But if it's not done in ignorance, then you are just blatantly disobedient. And you think that you can do that and it not require your life? That's why I made the penalties that way. Requires your life. So we talked about this last night, and this was a review. The Most High loves us. He really does. And we're the apple of his eye. We really are. But we got to start treating the Most High like he's the apple of our eye. Because I think for a lot of people, the Most High is not real. Not really. Because if we knew that he was real and that he was serious, if we understood the blood covenant, that this is life or death, that we surely would choose life. We surely would not choose to transgress. We surely would not choose to disobey. Because we would understand what all is on the line. My life literally is on the line. So either we don't value our lives or we don't value the Most High. You take your choice. That's why he writes all over this book, fear me. You can't do nothing for me. The one who's going to gain out of this is you. But I chose you. I want to elevate you. I want obedient children. I want an obedient partner. I want you to understand the rules of engagement. And know that this is serious. Something has died for this. Something has given its all. If the Most High was to just take your life, you don't have anything else to do. You are dead in the physical sense. That body is no longer usable. It can no longer serve. It can no longer experience this life. You can't give any greater than that. So when an animal is used to, as life is taken, in place of yours, that animal gave its all. It ain't gonna never eat and run across the slope and do what it does. That's all it knew, but it was it to do. And because of our disobedience, that animal had to die. As I said, when I found it in the scripture, it kind of blew me away. But the Most High does love the animals. And he don't really put them below men. He gave us dominion over them, but he don't really put them below us. Your life has value too. Or else they could even be a substitute for us if their life didn't have value. So the Most High says, I need to find a way. I need to have a way to keep my purchased possession alive until I can come. So I'm going to allow them to use these animals. But the animal can never pay the price in total. But I'm going to use it so that I don't have to kill you until I can bring the perfect sacrifice. And now you want to esteem the perfect sacrifice? You won't value it? You don't understand what you're in. Let's go to Numbers chapter 15. The book of Numbers chapter 15. And we're going to get verses 30 through 36. This is the old covenant, the old blood covenant. This is what was required. Numbers chapter 15. And can I get a one from anybody if I'm being heard? Okay. So I want to make sure that this is not muffled. I want to make sure that we are getting it. So if you can just press a one, thank you very much. Thank you. Numbers chapter 15, and we're going to get verses 30 through 36. And we've heard these things before, but I want us to hear them and understand them from the standpoint of the blood covenant, that it is a life and death covenant. You don't enter into it and just walk away from it. You don't just enter into it and then breach it like it's nothing, like, you know, I'm only human. The Most High knows that. And he still says, be thou perfect. But the soul that does act presumptuously, you presume, you willfully, you intentionally transgress, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches Yah, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. That means that that soul no longer belongs to the Most High Elohim. That soul no longer has access to the promise. That soul no longer has access to the Most High. Unless he truly comes back and he's truly repented, because you know what? This requires their life. So when the Most High turns his back on you and says, hey, you no longer belong to me. You no longer have his blessings. You no longer have his protection. You no longer have anything. He's no longer your Elohim, because part of the covenant was, I will be your Elohim and you will be my people. You are cut off. I am not your Elohim. You are a person without an Elohim. And he's the only true Elohim, because he has despised the word of Yah and has broken his commandment that soul shall be utterly cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. Can't get no animal for that. Can't bring a sheep or an ox or a goat or some turtle doves under this covenant. The Most High has never allowed it. Nothing is going to die for you if you sin willfully. I'm not killing anything for you. I'm not putting another life in your place. Your iniquity shall be upon you. Your life shall be required. So you might be walking up a mountain and not even thinking, and a boulder roll down and roll over you, just kill you. Or an animal attacks you. Or some stranger comes up and just robs and kills you. You are no longer under protection. Do we see how serious this was even in Torah? Your life was required of you. This is what we entered into. This is what our forefathers entered into. So we don't want to despise the word of Yah. We don't want to enter in to an agreement with him that we say we can't keep, that we say we are too weak and frail to keep. You got to understand what you're coming into, and with all your might, with everything that is within you, you have to keep it. It requires your life if you don't. That's why I say, many of us and many coming out of the churches, we have to go on our face before the Most High. We have to, you know, repent and put our life in his hands and beg him not to impute our sins against us. Because we deserve death. That's what the covenant requires. You break this covenant, it requires your life. Now I'm going to do a better job. I'm going to put it in your heart. That's why we're covering the old. Because when under the new covenant, he says, hey, I'm just going to write my statutes, my laws in your heart. And because the temple is not here for a while, there's some things you can't do. Can't fulfill those things. They are put on hold for this dispensation. And you need to enter in with the correct information, with the correct expectation, understanding what you are getting into. You want to be close to me? Then you cannot come half-stepping. So I'm putting everything that I require. I've had it written, and I've had it written in several languages. Learn what it is that I want. Choose if you're going to serve me. Because the truth of the matter is, hate to say it this way, but the truth of the matter is, You can choose not to serve the Most High. You know what the end result of that is already. Don't have to tell nobody that. We've heard it too many times. We know what the end result. Don't serve him. We know what the end result is. But here's the deal. You can't serve him halfway either, because the end result is the same. He's already told us, I want your whole heart. I want all of you. I lowered myself, took on flesh, so that I could pay the price for you. You are purchased with my blood. Not the blood of an animal, not the blood of a mere man. So if you can't give him your all, you might as well stop. I'm just going to tell you, because the end result is the same. And that's not to tear down anybody or tear up anybody's hopes. The Most High wants us to come correctly. Come correct, or don't come at all. We got to understand that this is not a game. You're not dealing with some fictitional entity. You're dealing with the true and living Elohim. And what he wants, he's going to have. You have to make up in your mind. You have to see it. You have to want it, and you have to commit to it. Not just kinda. I'm learning the Most I don't do kinda. He don't have to deal with kinda. Think about who you're dealing with. He don't have to deal with kind of. He said, I'm making a space for you. I'm teaching you what I require so that you don't transgress. Because if you transgress, if you willfully transgress, hey, there ain't nothing that my word has already been spoken about it. But if you ignorantly do it, there's still hope for you. I'm not going to hold you to that, because I know you're going to repent and turn from it and not do it again. At least that's what you should do if you know what's involved, if you know what the true penalty is. So you don't want to despise the word of the Most High under this blood covenant. It's a life or death covenant. And see, I know I was guilty of it. The Most I had to show me. Let's continue in this. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19. And we're going to get verses 11 through 13. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. But if any man hate his neighbor and lie in wait for him, so we talked last night about, you know, if you took innocent life, the Most High made a way in Israel. There were three cities you could run to. And you could run into those cities and you were supposed to be safe because you took life innocently. You didn't do anything intentionally, so you were not worthy of death. But the person's family, the person who's you killed family may want to avenge the life of whoever you took out of their, you know, they're in their feelings. They've lost a loved one. And because they were killed, the law says a life for a life. But he said, because you did it innocently and, you know, it was an accident, you're not worthy of death. But that might not stop them from trying to avenge their loved one. So he said, here's a city you can run into. And the people, the elders, and everybody in that city, that safe city, was supposed to keep you safe. And if you made it to that city, that family knew they could not go in and pursue you because you had made it to the safe city. Now, if it was determined that you did this premeditatively, that you had an ought with this person, you had a problem with this person in the past, and you might have waited for them to kill them, you might have hated them. He says, but if any man hate his neighbor and lie in wait and rise up against him and smite him, kill him mortally, that he die and flees into one of these cities. So you did this intentionally. Now you want to run to a safe city. Then the elders of the city shall send and fetch him from there and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. This is the way that the law works. If you are guilty, then whatever you took at the level that you took it was to be taken from you. You took a life, you forfeit your life. You took a hand, you forfeit your hand. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's why the law was given to put limits. Because you might have took somebody's finger. They want your life. No, 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 no. You can't have that person's life for that. You can have their finger that they took from you. But if you took somebody's life, the law says a life for a life. So they were, if you did this intentionally, they were supposed to deliver you over to the avenger of blood. That is that their family, whoever it was that required your life for the life that you took. This is the covenant. This is the law under the covenant. Thine eye shall not pity him. That person that took that life intentionally, thine eye shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. The Most High doesn't like innocent blood being taken. When the Most High sends you after somebody, if he sends Israel after somebody, it's because they are deserving of death. And he knows why. So we got to understand. If you were innocent, if you were doing things ignorantly, if it was an accident, truly an accident, the Most High says, no, I'm not requiring that you pay the price. Yeah, did you take a life? Yeah, you took a life. And the law says a life for a life. But you're innocent because you didn't do this intentionally. It wasn't in your heart to do it. You just cutting wood. The head on the axe was loose and it came off and killed this other person. There was no malice in your heart toward this person. You don't deserve to forfeit your life for that. But still, this other person has a right to avenge the life you took. So get into the safe city. And you will be protected there. But if you did this thing intentionally, willfully, with malice in your heart toward this person, then the life you took, you forfeit your own. A life for a life. And he says, and you don't pity that person. You don't pity him. Because he did it intentionally. So is it with the transgression of all the other laws. These are examples. That if you do something intentionally, you intentionally break the law, you are to pay the full price of whatever the law required. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life. If you stole something from somebody, you were going to pay more than what you took. You're going to make restitution. If you hurt somebody and it was not intentional, then you still have to pay for the hurt you put on them. How much did they lose in wages? You were going to stay with them by the law and made sure that they got well. That was your duty. That's like, so what the in the New Testament, when it talks about the Good Samaritan, do you know the law required that? And, Messiah had to bring it as the Good Samaritan, but the law required it. That you would pick that person up. You would go and take them to the doctor or to wherever it is that they need to get well. You would pay for it. You would pay for whatever it took to make them whole again. That's what the law required. We think it's good enough that, hey, I help you get bandaged, and I don't know how you're going to pay your rent. I don't know how you're going to get food. Ain't my concern. I've done what I'm supposed to do. No, you haven't. Not according to the law. Not according to this covenant. If you harm somebody like that in any kind of way, you are to make it totally good. They were not to suffer any more at your hand. Whether it was their rent, their light bill, whatever it took for them to live, you were supposed to make it good. Until they were able to do for themselves again. So the law required a lot out of us. And the Most High says, this is what I require. Let's continue. Now, as I said before, there are many types of covenants. Not all covenants are blood covenants. Some covenants are based upon promise. The Most High promises us something and it wasn't sealed with blood. Okay? One individual promising another individual or individual something, such as Elohim promising not to destroy all flesh by water. That's a promise. There was no blood involved with the promise. The Most High said, it repents me of what I did. I will not destroy all flesh again by water. This is the covenant that I'm making with man and the animals and the world. It's not just with man. This covenant was to man and the animals. I won't destroy you all by water again. That's a promise. So what we have is elements of a covenant. You got the promiser or promisers, the ones making the stipulations to the promise. In this case, it's the Most High. But if you make a promise with somebody, that's why he says he don't like people who break vows. Because a vow is a promise. Then you got the promisee, the one that's receiving the promise, agreeing to the stipulations of the promise. I promise you I'll do this if you do that. So that's the promisee, the one receiving. And they got to, if it's a promise that's and an agreement that has two parts to it, two sides, then the Most High says, I promise I will do this if you do this. Or I promise I'll do that if you don't do that. But you're the receiver of the promise. Sometimes it don't take your agreement. Like he says, not to destroy the world. We didn't have to agree in that. That's a promise he made. And he didn't say the world had to do anything. He says, I don't want to do that again. I'm not going to do it again that way. Man, the animals, the world, the earth didn't have to agree in that. But then there's promises where I promise to do a certain thing if you do something. This is a promise covenant, but there's no blood involved. the promise itself, what is professed to be done or not done. The covenant agent, what I call the covenant agent level, the elevation or the level of the authority of the commitment. If I make a promise to you, you make a promise to me, that commitment is at our level, person to person. But then if we go into a promise with the Most High, the level, the authority is what raised. The commitment level is raised. Who's making the promise and the authority of the promise? That's that covenant agent level. Who are you going into covenant with? Who are you going into a promise with? Is it with your brother, your sister? Is it with the Most High? Difference is there. The backing of the covenant, what backs it? The name of the person? Their integrity? Or blood? When the Most High makes a promise to us, he backs it by his name, by his word. Says, my word is good. If I make you a promise, you can bet that my promise is good. It's backed by my name. It's backed by my integrity. If we come into covenant and it's blood, then it's backed by blood. It's backed by life. Hold on a minute, please.
Believe. Yeah.
All right. Amen. 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 Okay. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 25. The book of Psalms, chapter 25. We're going to get verse 10. All the paths of Yah are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant, as keep his covenant and his testimonies. You got to understand that when we come into this covenant, we have to keep it. His mercy and his truth stems and is based upon us keeping his covenant, keeping the relationship and the agreement. Go to Psalms 103. Psalms 103 and 17. And we're going to get verses 17 and 18. The book of Psalms, chapter 103, verses 17 and 18. But the mercy of Yah is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Upon them that fear him and his righteousness unto children. Unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. If you are in covenant relationship with him, then you have to keep the covenant, because you have to understand that the covenant is a life or death covenant. And he is merciful to us as long as we're keeping the covenant. As long as we're walking in righteousness, as long as we're not willfully being disobedient. That's who he is with. Psalms 105, verse 8. Psalms 105 and verse 8. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. It's about covenant. It's about that relationship. It's about understanding that you can't enter into it and take it lightly. If we are being good people and we're trying to live righteous lives, and we are not willfully being disobedient, and anything that we do in ignorance, because we didn't know, we weren't taught, he's not going to kill us for that. He simply tells us the day that you find out that you are in transgression, repent of it, turn away from it, and I am true and just to forgive you. But if you are hard-headed, stiff-necked, and disobedient, you don't belong to me. We have to believe this stuff. It's not just a suggestion. He is in relationship with those that are in covenant relationship with him. Go to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Let's read about Noah. Because this is a covenant that the Most High made. Okay? And we have to understand completely how our Elohim operates. Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And Yah said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of Elohim came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And Elohim saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented Yah that he had made man in the earth, and it grieved him in at his heart. I have made something that was for my pleasure, but this thing only thinks evil continually. And Yah said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. It wasn't just man. I repent that I made the animals. I'm sorry that I made the fowls of the air. I'm sorry that I made the creeping things. I'm sorry that I made man. I'm sorry I made this thing. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yah. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with Elohim. Wait a minute. Noah was a man, but he was perfect. And we say we can't be perfect. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was also corrupt before Elohim, and the earth was filled with violence. Now, understand this. The earth is filled with violence, but animals weren't eating animals, and people weren't eating animals. So what type of violence was going on? They were mistreating each other. They were doing sexual things that they shouldn't do between man and woman and man and animal. Doing all kind of crazy stuff. And Elohim said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. Well, let me read verse 12. And Elohim looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. That's why I said this was a different time. Man had a different relationship with the animals, and they had all corrupted themselves. The animals weren't acting like they were supposed to act. Man wasn't acting like he was supposed to act. And the Most High says they are corrupt. And Elohim said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So he's destroying the earth too. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. And the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower and second and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring flood waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. They transgress, but they don't have a law. It's just that they're evil. They're wicked. They're not doing anything the way that they're supposed to be doing it. Why do you think the Most High gave those laws when he gave it? That a man shouldn't lay with a man and a woman with a woman and a man shouldn't lay with a beast. Because they have, were doing those things. And they were corrupt. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. So the Most High is making a covenant with Noah. I'm going to save you and your family. And I'm going to save parts of the animals. And I'm going to start over. In every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of the fowls after their kind, and of the cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Noah didn't have to go get them. The Most High chose the ones that weren't corrupted, weren't doing the things that the rest of the world was doing, and he sent them to the ark. He said, they shall come unto thee. And take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for you and for them. So you got to load up enough food for the animals and for yourself. Thus did Noah, according to all that Elohim commanded him, so did he. We're going to look at Yah's covenant of promise with Noah and his sons and all the living creatures. Let's go to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, starting in verse 1. And Elohim blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. Now before, the animals didn't have a fear of man. The Most High is changing their nature. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. So now we're coming out of the flood. There are, you know, they knew what unclean animals were and what clean animals were. But the Most High said, all of them shall be meat to you. There is no law at this point of eating clean or unclean. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, you shall not eat. Don't eat their blood. Whatever you kill to eat, don't eat their blood. Before, a man was eating just the green herbs. He wasn't eating the animals. The animals were just eating the green herbs, you know, from the ground and the fruit from the tree, and that's what the man was eating. The Most High says, I'm changing this thing now. The animals didn't have a fear of you. Now they're going to have a fear of you. And if you catch one and eat it, if that's your desire, if that's what you can do, when you eat it, make sure there's no blood. Drain it. Cook it out, but don't eat the blood, because the blood has the life of the animal in it. And surely your blood, now I want us to hear this, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require, and at the hand of man, and at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of a man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For the image of Elohim made he man. So when we kill another person, we're Most High saying, hey, I made you in my image. So it's like you're killing me. And I require your life. And you be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And Elohim spake unto Noah and his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. This is his promise to all mankind and the creatures, Noah and his sons, and all the living creatures on the earth. And Elohim said, this is the token of the covenant. Now, he didn't go and kill an animal. and shed his blood and sprinkle Noah and the other animals with it. This is a covenant of promise, but not a blood covenant. This is the Most High saying, I make a promise. I will not do this again. This is the token of the covenant which I make between you and me, and you and every living creature that is with you, for a perpetual generation, forever. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token, a sign of a covenant between me and the earth, everything that's in it. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between Elohim and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Every time I see that rainbow, it reminds me I'm not going to destroy the whole earth and everything in it by water. And Elohim said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. So this is a covenant of promise. The Most High didn't use blood. I've already killed everything I'm going to kill. But this is my promise to you. This is based upon my word to you. I didn't say you had to do anything. This is just my promise to you. I will not do this to the earth or to the animals or to man again. I will not destroy it by water. So this is a covenant of promise. And it's not a blood covenant. Nothing is required to die because of this covenant. I'm changing the nature, and y'all, now y'all gonna be, you know, y'all not gonna be like y'all was before the flood, where y'all didn't have a fear of each other. Now you gotta have a fear of each other. Because y'all just became too common with each other. Animals sleeping with man sleeping with animals. You just were evil in your ways. I'm gonna put the fear of man in all the animals. And the flesh is not going to corrupt itself the same way. And we still got people that do this stuff today. So there's nothing new up under the sun. But the Most High said, I'm going to make it to where this ain't common. Because it was common before the flood. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 15. Look at Abraham and the covenant of promise that the Most High made with Abraham. And then he made a blood covenant with Abraham. Genesis chapter 15, starting in verse 1. After these things, the word of Yah came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Yah Elohim, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house, Eleazar of Damascus, is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is my heir. I've worked all this, and you bless me, but I'm going to have to give it to another man that's not even of my own blood. And behold, the word of Yah came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thy heir. Now, Abraham hasn't had a child yet. Sarah hasn't been able to get pregnant. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou art able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. You don't have no children right now. But if you can number the stars, that's how many your children, your offspring are going to be. And he believed in Yah. And he counted it to him for righteousness because Abraham believed. I don't see it. I got a wife. She ain't never had a baby yet. And you say my seed is going to be as the number of the stars. If I could number them. And he just believed you. His faith. It wasn't right in front of him. He didn't even have one at that point. But he believed that what the Most High told him. And he said unto him, I am Yah that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Yah Elohim, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Now, this is not a blood sacrifice. This was so Abraham could see the vision. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst. He cut them in two, and laid each piece one against the other. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, he hadn't burned these. These are not a burnt offering. Abraham drove them away, and when the sun was gone down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, this is the Most High talking, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. So he's telling them, know that that for a surety thy seed shall be a stranger in a land. I'm going to give you a seed. I'm going to give you offspring. But they're going to be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. And shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come here again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. The Most High. Now, Abraham is in the promised land at this time. That's where he's at. That's why he says, in the fourth generation, I'm going to bring them back here to the promised land. Where you're at, Abraham, is already where I'm going to bring your descendants. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. So Abraham saw this smoking lamp and this burning furnace. That's how the Most High appeared to him. In the same day, Yah made a covenant with Abraham. Now here comes the covenant. Saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadamites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. I'm giving you all their land. Genesis chapter 17. Starting in verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, Yah appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am Elohim Almighty. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Noah was perfect. He told Abram to be perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply thee exceedingly. I'm 90 years old now. Because when he first talked to Abraham, he was 75. Get up out of Ur. And Abram fell on his face, and Elohim talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be more any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. This is already done. He didn't say a father of many nations am I going to make you. I have made thee. My word is good. My part of the covenant is good. You're going to have two children, well, really one, the one of promise, but really had two. And that's not as the number of the stars. But Abraham believed the Most High that in the end, all of his seed would be as what? The number of the stars. He believed. Now the Most High waits until Abraham and Sarah are both dried up. She's no longer having a cycle. He's no longer producing semen to bring this about. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations. Every generation, this had to be renewed. Every generation had to accept this covenant for an everlasting covenant to be Elohim unto thee and to thy seed after thee. To be, this is the covenant. I'm going to be their Elohim. I'm going to be their God. They're going to be my people. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their Elohim. And Elohim said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, and thy seed after thee in their generations. Got to keep the covenant. Got to keep the contract. Got to keep the agreement. He said, Abraham, you've done it. But your generations after you got to do it too. Starting in verse 10, Yah's blood covenant with Abraham and his seed. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Here's the contract. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. And it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. So all Hebrew male children, anybody that wants to associate with the Most High in Israel, who want to keep the Passover and all those things, because of this covenant, they have to be circumcised to fall up under this covenant. No Hebrew male child can be a child of the Most High and be up under this covenant if he's not circumcised. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. If you belong to Abraham, you had to be circumcised because you were considered part of the family. You were a servant, but you were still part of the family. And we got to understand that they could buy people in those days. They could go to war and take people in war. And they became their servants. Verse 13 again. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. You do this covenant, you keep this covenant, like I said to keep it. All the land that I told you I'm going to give you, it is a possession for you and your people forever. This is what this covenant is about. And the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. He don't get the promises. He can't enter into the land. He's not an inheritor of the land, the land of Israel, the promised land. And Elohim said unto Abram, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto Elohim, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Now Sarah has already given him Hagar. And he has had a child with Hagar. And Hagar despised Sarah. See, I gave him a child, and you can't give him a child. She threw it in her face. And Sarah got mad and chased her out of the camp. But the Most High sent an angel and told Hagar, go back, because this is Abraham's seed. But he's not the promised seed. The promise is between Abraham and Sarah. And the Most High takes, look at what the Most High did with Abram. He took the hay out of his name, took an H and put it into Abraham's name. That's a letter out of the Most High's name. Rejuvenated him. Took an H out of his name and gave it to Sarah. Changed her name from Sarai to Sarah. Rejuvenated her. Says, now you're going to have a son from her. This is the promise I made to you. Not that you and Sarah, not what y'all did, but because he is your seed, I'm going to bless him. Verse 19 again. And Abraham said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. And with his seed after him, every generation, this covenant had to be reestablished, because all relationships end at death. And each generation has to accept the covenant. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He's your seed. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. This is your seed. It's through Hagar, but it's still your seed. And I'm going to multiply them, because I told you I would make of you many nations. We could go in another place. He said that he would be with Ishmael. If the Most High is with you, then you got to understand that we becoming against some people, we are not becoming against, because the promise is to Abraham and his seed. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this time, set time next year. Let's see. So we are at the top of the hour. We're going to stop here for now. We're going to continue this evening. The Elohim of blood covenant. We see that the Most High made a promise to Abraham, I'm going to give you this land. But then now, under the blood covenant, he requires the foreskins and the shedding of blood of all the males for this covenant. And if any male of Abraham's seed is not circumcised, he's cut off from his people. He's broken the covenant. He's no longer an inheritor of the land. And this is why our people need to understand circumcision when you come into the New Testament. You got to understand circumcision from the old. We got to understand what circumcision, how it was changed with Moses. Because right now, in order for you to come into this covenant, you got to be either born into Abraham's house or purchased. You can't just join. You can't just come up and say, oh, I want to be part of the covenant. No, you had to be purchased. And then you had to be circumcised. But you were property. That was the only way you could get in. Be born into it or purchased into it. When we come to the law that the Most High gave to Moses, then we see that now the stranger who couldn't before just join, they could make a decision to come close. and they didn't have to be purchased to get into this covenant. And this covenant at this time is to be members of the nation of Israel, members of the seed of Abraham. So we'll get into that this evening. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your word this morning. Father, allow us to see your works and how you operate through the covenant of promise and through the blood covenant. Those things that are based upon your word and your name, Father, we know that they are sure, that they will come to pass. Everything that you have said will come to pass. We have Torah and the prophets as our proof. We don't really need a whole lot of faith. We can see what you did in the past and that it came to pass and that it will come to pass in the future. So, Father, we count solely on your word. We rely upon your name, that you are a God and an Elohim of promise. And all that you say that you will do, you will do. And all that you say you will not do, you will not do. We trust and believe you, Father, that your word is good. And we can rely upon it. Increase our willpower, Father. Increase our commitment to you, that we will not walk away as the apple of your eye, but we will make you the apple of our eye. Everything that it takes to please you, Father, we will learn and we will do it. We will become perfect, Father, as you have declared us to become. We will not make excuses. Now, Father, as we go our separate ways on this morning, keep your angels on their assignment and camp them around your saints. Let them keep them safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again at the appropriate time, may Yah bless you, and may he keep you. And remember, I love you, but Yah Elohim loves you way more than I ever could. We'll continue this on this evening. Shalom, family.
I'm well. with the water baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a button. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishmaka, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, who are you?
Elohim.